Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams, live on InfoWars.com.
Welcome to Counterthink with Mike Adams. Today's topic is, well, it concerns the stock market crash. I'm going to explain how you can save your assets from the crashing market conditions. And I'm not your financial advisor, so the disclaimer is you need to work with your financial advisor. Your finance situation may be different, but what I'm going to tell you here is a lifesaver. I'm going to bring information to you that you never hear in the media, information that they don't want you to know. And let's start with the simple fact that the Federal Reserve is responsible for the market bubble under Obama, and now the market correction slash leading to a crash under President Trump. The Federal Reserve is a globalist organization. And when they want to make a president look good, they keep interest rates artificially low. You'll note that under virtually the entire Obama administration, almost all 8 years, interest rates were zero, or they were lowering them to zero. What was the effect of that? Well, when money is cheap, i.e. interest rates are low, it creates a lot of new cheap debt. So there's easy money, there's free money everywhere, and money flows into real estate projects and municipal bonds and, of course, stocks. So it's easy money when interest rates are low. And that made Obama look good. Oh, the market's going up. Then when Trump became president, the Federal Reserve immediately decided they were going to start raising interest rates to whatever level it would take to crash the market and make President Trump look bad. And that is what they're doing now, and that is what you are witnessing. And I've been warning about this since Trump was elected. It was like the day after the election. I said, guess what they're going to do? They're going to crash the stock market to blame Trump to make sure that he never gets elected again. And they have been systematically doing that every day since. They keep raising the interest rates. The market is in a major, major correction. Some would call it the beginning of a crash. But I'm here to tell you today, it has only just begun. It's going to get so much worse. It is going to, because they want it to. Make no mistake that the globalists and the Democrats who hate President Trump, they are willing to economically eviscerate America. They don't mind how many people they harm, how many trillions of dollars they destroy. They don't care if they turn America into a third world country full of impoverished, homeless people, as long as they can get rid of Trump. To them, that's a success. And the Fed is going to crash this market. And the regulators are going to crash this market. They're going to do everything they can to destroy the United States economy so that Trump can be blamed for it. And the sad part is that if you own stocks, you are going to pay the price as well. You've already lost a lot of money if you had your money in stocks. And by the way, I have numerous podcasts on this very point. Counterthink.com. You know, you can hear my podcast from the last 2 years on this. Probably a dozen podcasts on this topic telling people that what would happen is exactly what's happening. And you don't need a crystal ball to see it. All you need to do is to understand how these globalists think, how they operate, how evil they are, and how desperate they are to stop Trump and what they're willing to do. So in this episode here today on Counterthink, I'm going to lay it out for you, give you the blueprint of what's coming next, what you can expect to happen, and most importantly, how you can protect yourself against this, because the name of the game from here forward, folks, is not to make money in the market, but just to figure out how to not lose money. And maybe that's what I should title this show, how to not lose money while the Fed is crashing the system to blame Trump and destroy America's economy. And then, of course, if they get a Democrat in the White House in 2020, guess what they'll do? Oh, they'll lower the interest rates to zero. And they'll have a great booming economy. And they'll say, look, it's the Democrat that's given us an awesome economy. Good thing Trump's gone. Look what that guy did. He crashed the market. No, the Fed crashed the market. We're going to cover all this and much more as you stay tuned here to Counterthink with Mike Adams. This is Counterthink. We'll be right back after this break.
Warning. Take the red pill before viewing. Counterthink with Mike Adams.
Welcome back to Counterthink. You know, it's not just that they're going to crash the market and destroy the U.S. economy and destroy your savings and your assets in their effort, the globalist effort to destroy President Trump. They're going to do so much damage. Let me just talk about one thing here that should be mind-boggling. They're going to gut most of the pensions all across America. There is a pension time bomb. And yes, I'm going to get into more details about how you can protect your assets in all of this, but there's a pension time bomb. And it's going to pop. If you are owed a pension, if you are collecting a pension, if you're living on a fixed income, that fixed income, you should plan that it is going to collapse. You should plan that your pension will have to be radically reformed. Most pensions, and I'm talking about state government employees and federal government employees and even private company pensions and public company pensions, most pensions are radically underfunded. And they're being funded at a rate that assumes extraordinary returns in the market for the rest of eternity. And those extraordinary returns are not possible. And because the market is crashing now, and it's only going to accelerate because of the Fed, as I mentioned in the opening segment here, pensions are going to be wiped out nationwide. And there are pensions in certain states that are especially vulnerable, such as Illinois and California and New Jersey and some others. Pensions are in trouble. And if you are working for the government, or if you have been, maybe you're a school teacher or a retired teacher, retired firefighter, your pension is probably in trouble. Now, the reason this is going to happen, of course, is because the pensions invest money in the market. Pensions take their money and they buy stocks. And they expect stock prices to keep rising irrationally in order to make the amount of money that they need to meet the obligations of their pensions. And these projections are wildly overly optimistic, and they will not hold up in reality. So pensions are going to be massively underfunded, which means the pension administrators, i.e. the cities or the states or the companies who are running these pensions, they're going to, well, let me put it this way. They're either going to voluntarily cut the payouts where you get 50 cents on the dollar, or they're going to collapse and be sued and then ordered by the courts to offer some kind of payouts at some percentage on the dollar. So if you have a pension right now in the city of Detroit, that pension 5 years from now, you might get 20 cents on the dollar, right? So if they're supposed to pay you, you know, $2,000 a month, you might only get $400 a month. And by the way, those dollars are less and less valuable every year because the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury keep conspiring to create new money, i.e. quantitative easing and other forms of planned inflation, which erodes the value of your pension payout. So your pension, maybe you were counting on getting $2,000 a month from your pension, and you were counting on $2,000 a month covering groceries and rent and electricity. Well, the more time goes on, 5-10 years down the road, that same $2,000 isn't going to buy the same amount of groceries or rent or gasoline or electricity or anything. It might be worth only half as much in terms of real purchasing power. And then on top of that, the pension is going to be cut drastically, where you might only get $400 instead of $2,000, like I said, and the $400 might only pay, you know, your cable bill and your, you know, your cell phone bill, and that's it. And if you want proof of this, go look at Venezuela, where you have government pensioners in Venezuela who, yeah, they're still given their pension dollars. You know, they're still paid. But what used to be a monthly pension payout, now, you know what it buys in Venezuela? It buys a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee. So they still get their checks. Oh, yeah, the check has the full amount. But the money has been devalued so much by the government of Venezuela, who's just printing money, creating money like crazy, that all you can buy with your entire monthly pension check is a cup of coffee. And by the way, that was like 6 months ago. Now I don't think you can even buy the cup, not to mention the coffee, because the money has become worthless, because the central banks are stealing your purchasing power. So if you're promised a pension, and by the way, at the federal level, we can talk about Social Security, same thing. You're promised a payout in terms of Social Security. You know what the quickest way is for the federal government to steal money from you? Is to inflate the money supply, causing a devaluation of the purchasing power of money, which means that, yeah, you're going to collect a Social Security check, but it's going to be worthless in terms of actual purchasing power. Did you know that the U.S. dollar has lost over 96% of its value since it was since the Federal Reserve was founded and put into practice, you know, following 1913, Creature of Jekyll Island? Have you read G. Edward Griffin's book? You need to read it. You need to understand what's happening. Your money is being stolen from you every day by the Federal Reserve, which is not a part of the government. It is a private banking cartel run by globalists. They've decided to steal your money, and they've also decided to destroy President Trump. And in order to accomplish this, they are going to cause massive economic terrorism, you could call it, all across America. Economic terrorism. They're going to crash the bond market. They're going to crash the real estate market. It's already begun in some cities, by the way. Real estate values are down in Silicon Valley this year. They're going to crash the stock market, and you're seeing it. And normally, when I warn people about this, but times are good, they respond to me, like, no, Mike, it's going to go up forever, man. Look, it just everybody should just buy. We're all going to get rich. Everybody just buy, buy. I'm like, no, don't be a fool. The bubble is hyperinflated. Those valuations aren't real. No company is worth, you know, 200 times its annual earnings. I mean, a mature company. You know, these valuations are in the stratosphere. They don't make any economic sense. You're paying too much. There's going to be a massive correction. But that's because of the easy money that was offered under President Trump. So, in summary here, what I really need you to understand is that the attack on your money and your assets is going to come from so many angles that if you don't take steps now to get prepared, you're going to lose everything, all your savings, you're going to lose all your investments, you're going to lose your pension, you're going to lose everything if you don't take some steps. And I'm going to continue to share those with you here on this show. You need to think about this for your own protection. And I'm not here to sell you anything. I don't sell gold. I don't sell insurance, nothing. This is the same advice I give to my family members, and this is what I do in my life. I'm just sharing with you what I do. And then you can decide for yourself if it makes sense. Because part of what's going to happen here is, well, what's the best way to say this? When you even have savings in the bank, those savings are usually in dollars. So you have currency risk that you've never even thought about. Just like the people in Venezuela, think about it. They save their money in the Venezuelan currency, which I think was the Bolivar. I may be wrong about that, but let's just call it Venezuelan dollars for simplicity's sake here. So the Venezuelan dollars, that's what you had in your bank in Venezuela. So you put your money in the bank and you think, oh, it's safe. You know, the bank is protecting my money in Venezuela and I can go to the bank and I can get it out anytime I want. Well, guess what? The money becomes worthless for all the reasons we mentioned. So even though you have savings in dollars in the United States and you have a bank account in the United States, do you think those dollars themselves are going to hold value if the entire currency suffers debasement? In other words, erosion of its value? No. The dollars that you earned, that you put away in the bank, can be stolen from you, and they will be. They will be, even if you have them in a savings account. So you might think, okay, I'll get out of stock market and I'll put this money in a savings account or a checking account and it's going to be FDIC insured. Well, guess what, folks? The FDI does not insure your money from being destroyed by devaluation. Did you realize that? The FDIC doesn't insure your money from being lost through currency manipulations. If you lose 50% of your purchase power, you get nothing from the FDIC. More straight ahead here on Counterthink.
K
Countering the brain-dead propaganda of the status quo. This is Counterthink with Mike Adams, right here on InfoWars.
All right, here's something else you need to know. If you're saving money in dollars, you're taking a risk in the currency of the dollar. You might think, well, the dollar, that's strong. It's used as the default currency, the world currency. All over the world, it's used to buy and sell oil, right? It's the global reserve currency, as it's called. Well, guess what? Many countries are now starting to do deals without using dollars, and China has been hoarding gold. And it also turns out, you know how some of the world's wealthiest people got rich? By betting against currencies of a certain nation, and then, get this, you'll love this part. So they bet against the currency of a nation. They'll put like a $1 billion bet that the currency, let's say, of the UK is going to crash. And then guess what they'll do? They'll hire teams of people. They'll spend hundreds of millions of dollars, if necessary, teams of people to destroy the integrity of a nation. And you've seen these operations where they hire people to foment hatred. They pay off journalists. In fact, this is happening in the United States right now. They hire people to protest, and they create movements like Antifa. This is all funded. This is all behind the scenes. This is all being done by currency speculators, because when the currency then plummets, that currency speculator who bet $1 billion against that nation's currency, if they can start a civil war, i.e. Ukraine, go look at the history of Ukraine, or if they can cause political upheaval, i.e. the United States, guess what? They can earn billions of dollars in profit just from bets they place on currencies. Yeah, you probably haven't heard this analysis before. But you go look around the world at who is behind the scenes, which globalists have so much money and are running all the fake nonprofit front groups, and they're funding the actual protesters, and they're funding the media lies against your own country. Who's doing this? You probably know the names. One of them starts with S, like Satan, but that's not the name. Might as well be Satan, but you probably know who I'm talking about. These people, they are currency speculators. They make money by destroying national economies. Again, you're not going to hear this analysis on CNN or MSNBC or anywhere like that, but this is how it works. They destroy economies, they destroy currencies, they destroy savings, they destroy governments, but they make billions of dollars from doing so. They are profiteers from destruction. This is their revenue model. Their business is destroying nations and destroying economies and betting against the currency and making billions of dollars. You understand? You are about to be caught up in the middle of this. In fact, if you've suffered losses in the stock market recently, you've already suffered the effects of this. It's happening now. So let me get to the part here now where we talk about practical solutions. How do you protect yourself from this? Because the threats are from so many angles. The devaluation of the currency, you know, the Federal Reserve, the changing interest rates, the collapsing pensions, the overvalued stock market bubbles, all these things. So how do you protect yourself? Now, what's the best way to get into this? You need to understand that dollars are not money. What is money? Money is actually something that has, at least in my definition, let's say money is something that has inherent value, but it's also recognized as a form of exchange. So money would be coins that are made out of precious metals. The coin itself is not a representation of a precious metal. The coin itself is the precious metal. So if you have a gold coin and you want to use a gold coin to pay for something, the coin has the gold in it. It doesn't just represent a certain amount of money. It is the money. But if you take out a paper dollar, even a $100 bill, you show me a $100 bill, I can show you a $1 bill that has exactly the same amount of paper in it. I can show you a $1 bill that has the same ink. No difference between the $100 bill and the $1 bill, except for the numbers printed on the paper. The numbers printed on the paper are representations of money. In other words, abstractions of money. And the only thing that makes those numbers work is people's faith in the zeros. If you ever think about that, If I hand you a $1 bill, your mind goes, oh, that's a dollar. I hand you a $100 bill, it's just got two more zeros on it. You say, oh, that's $100. Why is that? Because there's a social contract agreement that is worth $100, but it's an illusion. It's a shared delusion across society, and it's an illusion that is created for the benefit of government. So government can create money and print money without having to actually have value in it. This is why Richard Nixon decoupled the dollar from the gold standard. I believe that was 1971. Because when gold was tied to money, for every $100 bill that the government created, they had to have an equivalent amount of gold held in a vault somewhere. And so that limited the ability of government to create money. But after Nixon decoupled gold from dollars, and by the way, he said, oh, this is to save the dollar from the currency raiders. You know, they always have some excuse. Like, oh, this is to save us, yeah, so we can print more money. When that happened, then the value of dollars continued to erode year after year, decade after decade, while gold over time became more valuable in terms of dollars because the dollars were becoming less valuable. So if you are to understand how to save yourself from this financial catastrophe that is being deliberately placed upon you, you've got to get honest and understand what is money and what is not money. What is a real asset and what is a fake asset? Now, here's the difference, okay? So precious gold is real money. Dollars with zeros printed on them are not money. It is a representation of money, but it's not real money. Gold in your vault, in your home, is real gold. But numbers on a computer screen where you own stocks in a gold mining company, that's not real. That is not real. Those are digital numbers. They can be erased tomorrow. They can cease to exist. And if all the records are lost, how can you prove that you owned any part of that gold mining company, which you've never even seen, by the way, probably. It's probably a company operating in Bolivia or somewhere. You've never even seen it. You don't know if it's real. Probably isn't even real. It could be just a front group. That's happened before. I'm telling you, you understand the difference between real assets and fake assets or representations of assets. So if you have a savings account and you you log in to a bank account online and your browser tells you, oh, I've got $50,000 in there. Why do you believe that? Because there's a five and then there's four zeros after it. And you're like, oh, there you go. That's real. It's FDIC insured, right? Well, what happens if all the banks fail at the same time? FDIC can't cover that, can they? Or actually, even if 10% of the banks fail, the FDIC is broke. Or even worse, what happens if there's an EMP or a solar flare event, takes down the electric grid? Guess what? The internet doesn't work anymore. Your banking records are probably lost because I don't think they did a backup onto optical drives. Their backup is magnetic media, which means your records are history. You've got nothing. Because all you had was a representation of assets instead of real assets. Much more straight ahead. Stay with me.
Exposing the corporate media assault on your reality. It's Counterthink with Mike Adams.
The world's wealthiest families, they store their wealth in three things, just three things. If you understand these three things, you can also survive what's coming. Now, I'm not going to recommend that you use all three of these things. One of them in particular is not really attainable to non-globalist wealthy elite. But nevertheless, here are the three things that the wealthy actually put their money into, especially during hard times when things start to get crazy. And this is how certain families have preserved their wealth for literally centuries. I'm talking about European families and so on. What are the three things? Okay, number one, land. Because land can't vanish. I guess unless you live on the edge of a river and there's erosion or something, but you get my point. Land doesn't just vanish. Whereas tulip bulbs vanish, you know what I mean? The valuations, bubbles, dot-com booms vanish. But land doesn't vanish. Okay? Second item, gold. And by that I mean precious metals, including silver or even platinum or palladium for that matter. Maybe you could store copper. It's very valuable these days. There are a lot of metals that are very valuable, just gold and silver. They're really the most convenient ones to convert to other assets. And I don't mean that the world's wealthy elite own gold stocks. They own gold. They have rooms full of gold. And this is the way it's been for, you know, literally a couple of thousand years, with people collecting gold. And the third thing is museum quality fine art. They invest in fine art for the simple reason that fine art has inherent, well, it's a physical item, but it has inherent value to certain people, especially other global elitists. And you can always sell fine art if it's authenticated as real, and you can even roll it up into a tube and you can take it with you. See, it's portable, kind of like gold, but maybe more portable. You can have a $200 million painting in a cardboard tube if you want. And so throughout history, when things went bad in Europe, you know, all the different wars all across Europe and the Middle East and modern day Russia, you know, Eastern Europe and so on, people who had to flee would load up the wagon and have their horses, and they'd have gold, and they'd have a deed to a piece of land, and they would have fine art. And they would, after the war, when things switched hands, they would come back with the deed to the land, and they would argue in the courts, you know, 5 years later. And they'd say, this is our land. And in many cases, they would get their land back because they had the deed. They could prove that they owned the land. Now, what do fools invest in? Fools invest in popular.com stocks. Hey, Amazon's going to go up forever. How do you know that? Because somebody on TV said so. Wow. So fools invest in popular.com stocks. Fools invest in municipal bonds issued by cities that are bankrupt. And fools invest in abstract things like dollar bills. They have big savings accounts. They have, you know, dollars represented on a screen, but they're not real. That's what fools invest in. And the way you know they're fools is because throughout history, those people have always been wiped out. Just like what happened in Venezuela. Now think about Venezuela. You could lose all your money in a savings account. But if you owned a piece of land, ask yourself this question. Do you still own that piece of land today, even if the government goes crazy? Even if the Venezuelan currency collapses? The answer is yes. You still own the land. It's still there. It's a piece of dirt. It's in a certain geographic location. Maybe it has special features that give it value, like a little stream or a well or a building. You know, real estate that's real. That's why it's called real estate. It's actually real. Certain types of real estate. When I say land, by the way, that also means sometimes commercial real estate, sometimes residential real estate. Land is real. Human beings are physical, which means human beings need shelter. So having a place to live, having a place to conduct business is always going to have value as long as humans are physical. Right? And humans are going to stay physical. Not everybody's going to turn into a specter, a ghost. So people need real buildings. They need real homes. They need to sleep in real beds. They need real land. They need a real backyard to grow a real small garden. People need to eat real food. And that's why farmland always has value. Land that can produce food always has value. Land with water rights always has value. Now, some of you think, well, I invested in gold, but the gold prices keep going up and down and is not stable. No. Let me correct your thinking on that. Gold value is the most stable thing in the world. What's going up and down is the dollars per gold. It's the dollar that's going up and down. And because you are trained to think in dollars, because you've been brainwashed by the system all these years, you think gold is going up and down. It's not. Gold, an ounce of gold today buys about the same thing that an ounce of gold bought, you know, 500 years ago or 100 years ago. It's all about the same. Why? Because, well, gold has the same scarcity. Did you know, let me just take a little detour here. Did you know that gold, you know how gold is created? Did you know this? Gold is a cosmic element. It's on the table of elements. It's an element. You can break down, you know, a gold necklace into gold atoms, but you can't break down the gold atoms unless you have a, you know, a super collider or something. Gold is made in exploding stars. That's how gold got here. In the early universe, there was no gold. There was just hydrogen and helium and a little bit of lithium later on. And then when stars formed, and they would produce the lighter elements like aluminum, but they didn't produce gold until they blew up. Supernova. Supernova created the nuclear fusion to add protons and neutrons to atomic nuclei to create gold atoms. And then those explosions would spread that gold all over the cosmos. And that's why gold is in the Earth's crust in, you know, certain seemingly random locations. It's actually got a pattern to it, but gold is space dust. And no one on Earth is making it. There's nobody on Earth making gold. If there were, gold would be worthless. If you could make gold, what would the value of gold be? Practically zero. Because supply and demand. And it has inherent value. It has value in medicine, has value in technology, and it has intrinsic human value in art. And it's you know, it's shiny, it's beautiful, it's people love gold. And so it has all these inherent intrinsic values, but very, very scarce supply because no one's making it. And by the way, you can't even destroy it. So just like you can't make it, you can't destroy it either. Have you ever taken a gold coin and tried to destroy it? I dare you. Try to destroy it. Now, if you're clever, I mean, you can pound it with a hammer. You're just going to get a thin gold coin. That's it. You can melt it. You're just going to get melted gold. That's it. You can burn it. I don't care. You can burn it at 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You still just have gold. You can pour acid on it. You can dissolve gold in acid, by the way, but you have gold atoms in the acid. It doesn't eliminate the gold. And through chemistry, you could take the gold back out of the acid if you did that. So even dissolving gold coins in acid doesn't eliminate the gold. The point is, you can't destroy gold and you can't make gold. But governments can destroy dollars and they can make dollars. And that's why dollars are not safe. No currency is safe if it's an artificial currency. And almost every currency in the world is artificial. Anything, think about this, anything that governments can make or break will have no long-term value. That's why the world's wealthy elite do not hold their money in dollars or euros or francs or yen. They don't do that because they know that stuff that's going to be gone. Gold has been here for billions of years. Gold has been around billions of years. The U.S. dollar has been here, what, 200? A little over 200 years? That's it. And it's going to be gone, you know, in another 20. It's a temporary flash in the pan. Gold is going to be here longer than any of that stuff. It's going to be here for billions of years more. All right? Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead here on Counterthink.
Prepare to discard your mental blinders. Counterthink with Mike Adams is now live on InfoWars.com.
Returning to Counterthink here, getting back to the practical action items that are crucial for you to understand. So far, I've discussed the things that are not real money and the things that are not real assets. Paper with numbers printed on them in green ink is not money. It's a representation of money. A digital account with a bank that says you have X number of dollars in a bank account, that is not money. That is a representation of money. Even you owning stocks in a company. Oh, I own stocks in this amazing high-tech chip manufacturer. That is not real either because it's a representation of ownership in something that probably you don't even know exists in many cases. Something that can be gone just like that. None of that stuff is real. But what is real? What is real is precious metals, land, real estate that's not in a bubble, fine art, as I mentioned, but I don't recommend investing in fine art unless you happen to be, you know, a museum expert on fine art. You know, even believe it or not, like diamonds are real. If you're in the family, you know, the diamond industry, your family, and you can get diamonds and you know how to grade diamonds, that's actually something that has real value that will, you know, sustain. Diamonds are very hard to destroy. They're going to be around. So there are things that are real. You know, I like to say tractors, old diesel tractors that you can use to make food. You know, you can farm with a tractor, and it grows food. And so if you have land and a tractor and some diesel fuel, you can create an income stream and actually produce something from sunlight that has value to other humans or other animals, such as ranch animals. You can grow hay and bale the hay. And I understand it's not lucrative, but it's real. It's real. Maybe you buy a piece of land with a pristine water, a spring, an artesian well on it, and you can turn it into a commercial bottling plant, maybe. Do people need water? Oh, yeah, it turns out they do. Do people want clean water? Sure enough, they do. Focus on things that are real. And so the strategy that I'd like you to entertain here, and again, I'm not your financial advisor, so use your own wisdom on this. Maybe talk to your own so-called experts. We're always giving you bad advice, usually. Like, yeah, just keep buying stocks. You know, that really, you're in a, like, I could turn on TV and see that. That's your advice, huh? Insane. But you should convert the things that are not real into things that are real. And if you do that, you will survive the coming crash. It's so simple. It's almost like we could fit this on a bumper sticker. Sell the things that are not real, buy things that are real, and then you will survive the crash. Now, you won't make money in the market, but those easy profit days are over. You won't make money, but you will avoid losing money. The name of the game now is protecting your assets. That's the name of the game. And to do that is so easy. You trade your dollars for things that are real. You trade your dollars for land or gold or the things that we've talked about here that are real. Heck, even firearms have real value. And frankly, the crazier the collapse gets, the more value ammunition will have. Of course, keep it legal. I'm not encouraging you to go out and buy, you know, illegal automatic weapons or something. You know, keep it legal, but understand what real assets are. What do people need? Storable food is a real asset, believe it or not. Hand tools are real assets. Even non-electric hand tools. You know, go full Amish on a tool set. That has real value. And it even works after a solar flare. Understand what real value is. And think about where your assets are. And I've seen people who say things like, oh, I don't want to sell my stocks because they've made so much money that there's going to be, you know, a tax consequence. I'll have to report the gains. Wait, what are you thinking? Would it be better if the market crashed, and then you could sell them, and then you wouldn't have to report gains? What are you saying? You should sell when they're high. Take the gains, take the profits, pay the tax on the gains. Capital gains tax is not that high. Just pay it. Take the money, pay it, and then convert that money into something that's real, and count your blessings that you were able to sell your stocks, which are probably overvalued, by the way, that you found some other sucker to buy them from you. That's actually the situation. Someone who believes they're still going to go up. And they bought it from you. And they think they got the great deal. They're quietly thinking to themselves, ha, this sucker sold these stocks when it's going to go up for the next 50 years. That's what they're thinking to themselves. They think they got the deal of a lifetime. But you know that you got out. So now you don't have that risk anymore, and you converted that value into something that's real because you're buying things that are real. Now, of course, you got to have a certain amount of operating cash. Cash has value even in a collapse. So there is a case to be made for a certain amount of cash. You know, you should have a few thousand dollars of cash as an emergency. But you don't want to bet the farm on cash because that's fiat currency, and that's going to become worthless in certain circumstances. I'm here to tell you, the global debt bubble is going to collapse. It's going to be catastrophic. It's going to wipe out people's life savings, and it's going to cause people who thought they had it made on Easy Street, people who thought they were going to retire in comfort, they're going to be begging for greeter jobs at Walmart. They're going to be going back to work at McDonald's. They're going to be working fast food. How do I know this? Because we saw it before. We saw it in 2000, 2001. All these people thought they had all this retirement money from the dot-com boom. And I was warning people in 1998, 99, said, this dot-com boom, this is insane. These companies have no revenues. They have no profits. How can they be worth, $2 billion when they're not selling anything? And people were like, nah, that's the old model of economics. That's not the new model. They're like, Mike, come on, join the new century here. The new model, they said, is that companies don't need to make money. All they need to do is have web traffic. And then their valuations can be anything. That's what they told me. And I said, you know what? You're insane. That doesn't make any sense. How can companies pay their employees? How can they pay their rent? How can they pay their website designers if they're not selling anything? If they're not making any money, how do they sustain themselves and how can they be worth anything? Of course, it didn't take long for the world to find out, that I was right. I don't remember anybody apologizing to me, by the way. Nobody said, oh yeah, by the way, you were right, and we lost our retirement, and now we're working at Walmart. But that's exactly what happened to millions of people. They had to go get jobs. Jobs, I'm talking about senior citizens, had to go back and get jobs at age 65, jobs that they might have had when they were 19, when they were in high school. Now they have to do it again when they're senior citizens because they lost their pensions, they lost their savings, they lost their investments. And that is exactly what I'm hoping you don't do. I'm hoping that you protect your assets and that you don't end up in that boat. Because the name of the game, remember what I said, is to protect yourself from the losses right now. And again, I'm not your financial advisor. There's risk, I suppose, in every decision. But there's a whole lot less risk if you convert your assets into things that are not risky. Things that are real, things that can last, like gold, which has been here for billions of years. And it's going to outlive you, by the way, and me. Our lifetimes are short compared to gold or other real assets like land. You're walking around on land today that, Native American Indians were walking on 500 years ago. You think you own the land. Not really. You're just kind of leasing it from nature. That land is going to be there long after you're gone because it's real. And if you have a concrete building on it, that concrete's going to be there 1,000 years too, probably. Or it could be until someone tears it up. But these are real things. So it's a mindset. It's a mindset. People are brainwashed into thinking that, oh, the dollar's solid, man. Yeah, it's FDIC insured. Oh, this Intel stock can never go down, or Amazon or Google or whatever. It's all good. All my friends are doing this. It must be good. Really? Maybe all your friends are wrong again. And it wouldn't be the first time that happened, right? Just some things to think about. Now, this is Counterthink. If you missed some of the episodes, you can hear them at counterthink.com, or you can hear it every week. If you're listening on the radio right now, this is where you're going to find it. So tune in every week. I'm going to have more information for you on all of this as we continue. Thank you for listening. This is Mike Adams for Counterthink.